This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Very excited to welcome to the show a man who was a breakfast radio host for 7 years on Triple J. He's now an author with his brand new book when it drops, coming out in just a little while. It's Alex Dyson who's on the phone. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, Sam. Thank you very much for having me on.
Oh, mate, it's a pleasure to speak with you. You're pretty well known around the place, mostly for your broadcasting work. But now you're an author. I'd love to start by asking you about the fact that when you finished, you were on Triple J for, 7 years?
Yeah, I did breakfast for 7 years. I mean, the graveyard shifts are always forgotten, Sam. I did a couple of them, had a couple of them under my belt doing the overnight, the 1 a.m. to 6 a.m. shift. But, yeah, when it comes to my career, those ones are integral. So I don't think should be completely discounted, but
okay.
Also the quality of them was a lot poorer. And so I'm happy for them to be forgotten in time.
Well, no. What I would love to know, though, is that you did radio for 7 years. You were well-loved across the country, and then you decided to spend a year off traveling the world.
Yeah.
It's almost like a gap year after working. Why did you decide to do that?
Well, I kind of wanted to have a gap year. So what happened was, after I finished Year 12, I wanted to do a course called Creative Arts, right? Because it's broad enough, because I didn't know what to do, that I could try a few different things. But it's, not specific, but too specific to be somewhat useful in the rest of your life. But that was only running. It was the last year it was running when I finished Year 12, so I couldn't do my gap year then. And then after 3 years of Creative Arts, I went straight into the Triple J Breakfast Show, and so I didn't have my gap year then.
Mm.
So then at the ripe old age of 28 turning 29, I decided to head off overseas. So I was on a few bus about tours, and there was a lot of uni kids and young'uns, and I was the grandpa of the group at 29 years old, but that was okay. Until I tried to regain my youth and do a cartwheel in Albania, and I dislocated my elbow, and the young kids laughed at me until they realised how serious it was. So anyway, that's how my older and life gap year came to be.
So the thing is, you started writing this book back then when you were on these travels, and I kind of feel like now, I mean, maybe that's the sequel. The next book you can write is about your adventure of travelling around the world and the stories you brought home. Tell us about what it was like, though, to be travelling around the world in all these different parts and writing your first novel.
Yeah, well, it was good. You finally have time to do it, I guess, because I was by myself. I flew out of Australia and ended up taking the train basically from Beijing to St. Petersburg. So there were a few stops along the way, and I did my chapter outline in Mongolia in a little Gur camp, the Gur being sometimes referred to as a yurt. So I did that, wrote a few of what I wanted to happen in the chapters, wrote the first chapter on the Trans-Siberian Express, and then I wrote the majority of the first draft-ish thing in France. I had a little third-floor apartment in this little French village. I bought my baguette and camembert, and then came home and put on some music. I found this playlist called Bleeps and Bloops.
Yeah.
And I liked writing with that because there was no lyrics in the music, only bleeps and bloops. And so it was a lot easier to write with. You don't get as distracted. And so, yeah, then I'd buy a cheap, red wine from the supermarché, as they call it in France.
Oh, is that what it's called? And they're fancier there.
Yeah, exactly right. And, got stuck into it. And the first draft was pretty terrible, I'll tell you that. So that's why it's 3 years later, it's finally coming out, because I've worked a lot on it, and a lot of the first stuff from my overseas trip is on the cutting room floor. But I'm pretty sure the first first chapter is relatively similar to what we started with. Yeah, it's interesting, because as you write, you write better bits, and then the old bits that you wrote were like, well, that's not quite as good as what I've got now. And so, yeah, it's an interesting polishing system. Sometimes it's infuriating, and you can not get it, but yeah, it's all together and we've locked it off and it's getting printed and yeah, it's about to come out.
It's amazing to think you started it, the chapter outline in Mongolia, and then it was on safari in Africa. You finished your final draft, is that right?
I did. Oh man, that was a nightmare, because I was like, okay, I've bizarrely won this safari in Africa. And so I, because people win competitions, I guess, but you just never think it's going to be you.
Yeah, yeah.
But I entered this competition, won it. Me and my partner went over there. And of course, it's coming up and I needed my final draft submitted of the book about midway through the trip. So I'm like, right, I better finish this before we go. But because I procrastinate, I'm like, okay, I can ride it on the plane over. You know, it's a long trip. Anyway, end up in the Okavango Delta with no Wi-Fi. And, yep, the draft wasn't finished. And so, yeah, I was trying to do that. But then my little iPad keyboard that I was using when we were driving back from a day of taking photos of animals, we went over a bump in the Jeep. It flew out the window, unbeknownst to me, because I was charging on the shelf, get back to camp at nighttime, and I got no keyboard to finish my book.
No!
And I say, the guide, what keyboard, can we go back and find it? And he's like, well, no, the hyenas have probably eaten it. And I'm like, no! Anyway, we drive back the next day, and I'm like, nah, it's no good. And suddenly, like the sword in the stone, this keyboard in the sand of the tire track. Like the next morning was there and I got it and I could finish my book. And then, yeah, it was quite an international book in the end.
That's a good story. We're going to go to a song and come back and find out exactly what this book is about. Alex Dyson.
Ooh, what song? What song?
What song should it be, Alex?
Can we please play Africa by Toto? That's very, very good.
Okay, let's play Africa by Toto as per Alex Dyson's
request.
Let the rain
come down.
Think about the keyboard in the sand on Hope 103.2. And we're back with Alex Dyson on Sydney's Hope 103.2, blessing the rains down in Africa.
Oh, delightful. Well, it's aged very well, hasn't it?
Oh, it's a good song. Great song. Now, Alex, let's talk about the book. We've heard about the making of the book. Now, tell us about when it drops. What is the story? Yeah. Who's it for? Why should we read it?
Yeah, I've told you the how it came to be, but not what's actually in it.
Yes, that's right.
Well, I wrote it about a young chap. He's 16 years old. His name's Caleb, and he writes bangers in his bedroom. I managed to interview a bunch of young artists on Triple J over the years, and I found it so amazing when you'd ask them, like, oh, what's on for the rest of the day? I've got a maths test. It's like, wow. Because you've just come into Triple J, they're these wide-eyed, bushy-tailed people. And, you know, it's tough enough being a teenager. But, yeah, having to be interviewed by wacky breakfast radio presenters is also, yeah, adding that on top of it would be highly anxiety-inducing. So, yeah, I thought it'd be interesting to look at what happened if a kid had to go through that. Whilst a few other things were also going wrong with his life, because I guess it's always your dream to be rich and famous and have people talking about you and stuff, but it comes with some downsides as well. So, yeah, I decided to see what would happen and write about, I guess, a few of my experiences, a few that I thought could happen, and it's all come together in this wonderful book when it drops, which you can purchase or read, or I think I've got to do an audiobook, so I guess you can listen to it as well at some point.
That's so good. With music? That'd be fun.
Oh, that would be cool. I haven't thought about that. Maybe I could get someone to do a bit of an accompany piece.
Yeah, for sure. Nice. For sure.
Anyone wants to hit me up and do that.
An official soundtrack, even. You could release a soundtrack to the book. Mate.
Yeah, because, like, you see these movies get shown, like Lord of the Rings, with a live orchestra or something like that. Maybe if I'm reading the book, I could get, a quartet in.
Yes.
Or just have like a Hayden James DJ set that'll accompany it or something like that.
That'd be so good.
Yeah, we'll see.
Why did you write a young adult book? Because that's kind of the target audience, right? It's teenagers?
It is. And I think because I found teenagers, and I guess I'm only talking through my own experience here, Sam, but teenagers need the most help in that. When you're a teenager, you have no idea what's going on. And you kind of think that you do, but then you also don't. And you're so nervous about what people think of you. And, you know, and this is all myself. So if there's teenagers listening, you've got it all figured out. You're better than me. But I think it is a time where you're like, you're trying to work things out. And so having a book which can speak to you and be about your generation is super helpful. And, yeah, I was, as a teenage boy, there's not too many good, you know, good, funny books that you could read. And so I think, particularly chatting to teenage boys and have them have something that's hopefully you know, I cannot label it cool to read, otherwise it will completely null and void it being cool to read, but something that could hopefully, yeah, not be as lame as the others. Because in my book, I'm sure people will read it and go, oh, that bit's lame. But all I'm hoping for is not as lame as some other books.
Okay.
So, there you go.
So if you're going to review the book on what, Google reviews or anything, just write not lame?
No, don't say not lame. No, I wouldn't go that far. Say not as lame. Not as lame as others.
Okay, good.
Yeah, because lameness is a sliding scale. And I certainly register on the lameness scale, but hopefully I'm not as, non-hip as other books.
Were you?
And sure, using phrases like non-hip doesn't help my cause.
True.
But we just got to cross the fingers.
Were you an avid reader growing up as a kid?
Yes and no. I quite like reading, but when you start reading in high school, like your syllabus, when you start reading those sort of books and you start doing homework and you start playing sport and doing other things, it does, reading for pleasure starts becoming quite difficult, I think. And even nowadays, I find it difficult to read for pleasure, and I've managed to, luckily. Matt O'Kine's book recently. What else have I read? Mika Jacobson's Yellow. There's a few different things I've been able to read recently. But, it is a bit more difficult to sit down, you know, particularly with attention spans getting shorter and shorter. A novel is 8 hours of 12 hours or whatever of entertainment. So, yeah, it is a bit trickier. But, yeah, I do find when you find a good one, it's like, It is really cool. I was a Harry Potter boy, I've got to say that.
Oh, yes.
I mean, Harry Potter, the absolute exception to the cause. Artemis Fowl was really good. There's some great series that you can get into. But, yeah, on the sliding scale, not as avid as others.
Well, Alex, honestly, I cannot wait to read your Not As Lame book when it drops. Which is out.
Oh, this has been... Oh, man, I've just plugged this real good on your show. How about that? Not As Lame book.
Wherever you get Not As Lame books. And thanks so much, Alex Dyson, for joining us on Hope Breakfast. Really appreciate it.
See ya.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with life words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.